This is KCUR 89.3. The population of farmers in the United States is growing older, a situation that is more pronounced in the African American farming community. The Trump administration has proposed stripping funding in the coming farm bill for a program that helps minority and veteran farmers. And as Aaron McKinstry reports for Harvest Public Media, losing that money could make things particularly tough for young black farmers.
Cedric Rowe is driving down a gravel road between rows and rows of perfectly spaced pecan trees. He works at an 800-acre farm at Cypress Pond, which is a former plantation in southwest Georgia.
This is our old grove. These trees are over 100 years old, the big ones that you see.
There's an orange grove flanked by patches of longleaf pine. There's a vineyard and a patch of giant collards. Rowe runs out to the field to pick one.
I needed something that I can be more outdoors and run free. It was kind of in my blood, I say, you know, as far as farming.
He's a young black farmer, inspired by his grandmother and aunts who farmed a small plot of land. Only 1.4% of American farmers are black, and most of them live in the South, where their connection to the land began under the duress of slavery and later sharecropping.
Coming from where I'm from, you don't really find too many people with opportunity to be able to work in field like this, let alone, you know, history of our people. We're used to being in the field, but at the same time, as technology grew, we didn't grow with it.
In the 1920s, 14% of farmers were black, but many left farming because of the painful history of slavery and the great migration to industrial cities in the North. Those who stayed faced discrimination from lending institutions, including the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And as technology advanced and the average size of the farm grew, many black farmers didn't have access, like white farmers, to loans that would modernize their operations. But then in 1999, black farmers won a class action lawsuit known as the Pigford case against the USDA for past discrimination. Since then, more than $2 billion has gone to black farmers and their descendants. National Black Farmers Association President John Boyd was part of that lawsuit. His nonprofit and others believe that one of the keys to helping young black farmers today is the 2501 program, which is part of the Farm Bill and provides special funding for training and outreach to minority farmers.
Any type of cuts to a program like that really, really would hurt, especially black farmers.
Funding to the program was cut in half in the 2014 Farm Bill, and the pool of eligible participants was expanded to include veterans. Congress will debate it again this year.
I'm worried overall about this administration and the lack of inclusiveness, the lack of communication.
Shirley Sherrod has spent her career fighting the loss of black-owned land. She co-founded the nonprofit New Communities, which in 1985 lost the largest tract of black-owned land in the country after a drought and federal refusal to help until it was too late. After the Pigford settlement, New Communities purchased Cypress Pond with the intent to provide training, equipment, and guidance, particularly to help the next generation of young black farmers.
We want to train young farmers, especially African-American farmers, because that's a dying breed right now.
That's where Rowe comes in. He says, unlike his peers, he found a job in his field right after college and wants to show other young people that farming has changed in the last few decades.
With our generation, they get the wrong perception of farming. If you actually get them out here and show them, then they'll see a difference in it.
And that's what Boyd's been working toward, too.
Owning your own land is a very positive tool, and growing food is a positive tool as well. It's not something bad or you should be ashamed of. So I'm really trying to rechange the thinking of African Americans across the country.
He farms over 400 acres in Virginia, continuing the legacy that he inherited from his dad and grandfather, a legacy he hopes to pass on to his children. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Mary McKinstry.
Support for Harvest Public Media comes from this station and from the Center for Great Plains Studies at the University of Nebraska, host of April's Conservation and Tourism Conference, Plain Safaris in Kearney, Nebraska. Learn how tourism can save our natural environment and help communities grow. More at go.unl.edu/tourism.